This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, of course, Dr. James McDonald, M.K. Jessup, etc., deaths on June 24th. Is there a UFO curse?
Are there UFOs? Why do people care? Is there a curse?
Do people actually a really good question. I mean, why do people care about UFOs? We, in the communities, tend to think that it's one of the most important things in the world, because if it's proven scientifically to the satisfaction of the skeptics, then we can say, well, we know we're not alone in the universe, and for some reason that really matters to us. But it's really interesting when you come across people who it just doesn't matter to whether we were alone in the universe or not. Their golf game is more important.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember in 1969, coming home from working in a mental hospital with my coworkers. We were all recreational therapists. We're going over the little hills in southern Illinois, and all of a sudden, a little Carmen Ghia and I was sitting on the hump, and there right in front of us, crossing the road, was a gigantic Black Panther. And I saw it clearly, and everybody saw it clearly. And of course, being a cryptozoologist, even though I did have to have a real job, I said, let's go back. Let's see if we can find footprints. Let's see if we can find evidence.
Yeah.
This was late at night, and what did everybody that I was with say?
No.
I want to go home and have a beer. I want to go home and see my wife. I want to go home and take a nap. Humans don't care.
Giant Black Panther? Are we talking about just like regular Black Panther? Or are we talking like super big, like Territorian version of a cat?
It was a Black Panther that the tail was on one side of the road and the nose was on the other side.
What? Like this thing would have to be like as big as a horse or something, at least, or bigger.
Well, southern Illinois, the roads are smaller, but still, it was a narrow two-lane little highway. But Black Panthers aren't supposed to exist anyway in the United States, so that was the most remarkable thing. The size. Size didn't matter as much as it actually was there, and it was crossing the road. There were lots of other reports of Black Panthers in southern Illinois at the time. So
that's interesting. But, I mean, I think the size in this case, if you're saying giant and it was that large, I mean, that kind of implies it's as big as your car almost. That's an enormous cat.
Well, Carmen Ghias are small. But anyway, the whole theory is that they're Pleistocene cats, which were American lions, and American lions are one-third larger than normal African lions. So it was within the size range that all of the other reports that I gathered, really fit into that. For me, it's a report that I've never written up too much, but it put me in a situation where I understand what most humans experience with unusual phenomena. They don't give a damn. They want to go on with their own life. They want to put it behind them. They don't care about this, whether it's UFOs or cryptozoology specimens or whatever. They just, that's why I remember in the 50s and the 60s, I collected clippings and sent them to other researchers. Today, you can hardly find any clippings in the newspaper or even online, any place, of course. It's tabloid news. It's not taken seriously. We're overwhelmed with Trump and the border conflict and politics and drug cartels. It's just amazing to me how we're awash in stuff that doesn't affect us any more than UFOs, but everybody thinks it does. And so I think that's even the television shows, which there used to be many more UFO shows on TV than there are today, they're just disappearing. Sure, there's the ghost shows. The ghost shows seem to survive forever, but Finding Bigfoot's finally ended. So that's not even on TV. I think culturally in the paranormal world, we're seeing a shift away from phenomena.
And unless you're on Netflix or you've got one of, you know, a cable package, because you can usually find several shows on any one of those topics if you've got enough channels. And of course, on the computer, you can find a lot. And there's, I don't know how many hundreds of paranormal podcasts and radio shows still out there. So, but yeah, I mean, you're right. It does seem to go in waves. The sightings themselves seem to coincide with the popularity of the media as well. So, like when the X-Files was really popular, there was a really large wave in Britain that coincided exactly with the airing of the shows. So, you know, I suppose we could say, well, maybe because it became more acceptable and fashionable to talk about it, more people were just talking about it. Or yeah. The skeptics could say, well, no, people are just, you know, want more attention, so they make up stuff.
I think in 2016, when the campaign was going on, the media tired of talking about politics so much that it gave some room for phantom clowns to overwhelm the media. I've seen that happen times in the past where a news story becomes so boring to the media themselves that they search around for one of these unusual stories, clumb onto it, and then it becomes bigger.
Maybe like this To the Stars Academy thing it's kind of settled down quite a bit now, but we ask most of our guests what they think of that when they come on. You know, what's your take on that?
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a ufologist. Right. Some of my best friends are ufologists, like Jerry Clark. I really concentrate on straight Fortean phenomena and cryptozoology. And I run the Cryptozoology Museum, so that takes most of my time. Right. I get to dip into strange things with things like the Paracast, but oftentimes I'm just an observer. It's not that I disbelieve it or debunk it. It's just that I've got many other topics coming in through emails and messages and things that I have to respond to all the time.
That's understandable. Let's talk a little bit about cryptozoology then. Now, the skeptics, of course, call it a pseudoscience, and ufology suffers from the same malady or mislabeling, as I would call it. But would you say it's fair to call cryptozoology a pseudoscience? Do you claim, first of all, that cryptozoology is a science unto itself in the first place?
Well, the way I've always dealt with it is that is definitely a way to diminish it by calling it a pseudoscience. Cryptozoology is a subdiscipline, a method of pursuit within zoology and biology. It's a way to first talk to indigenous populations, gather evidence, look for physical evidence, see if there's possibilities of examples of the animals. If not, then it becomes part of folklore. If it becomes a real physical specimen that can be collected, then it becomes part of zoology. My whole approach in the museum is biological, zoological, anthropological evidence. Of course, you can't get real specimens of all the cryptids, but you can get replicas from tourist sites and from some toy manufacturers that make a point. I'm not an evangelical cryptozoologist. I figure the evidence will speak for itself if the other party is open-minded enough to look at the footprints, look at the foot cast, look at the hair samples and the results, look at how a fecal material collected about the Yeti or the Bigfoot looks so much different than other animals. So I just plod along very scientific method, and also with a good sense of humor, because there's a certain entertainment factor with cryptozoology,
Lauren, Jean, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutraMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Let me just ask you about the commonly known creatures. Bigfoot, myth or a reality at this point?
Well, it's certainly part of folklore. It's certainly part of reality. There's thousands of cases. There's hundreds of thousands of footprints. There's Native American, Native Canadian sightings and stories that go back hundreds of years. I think that I'm realistic enough to know that 80% of all of the sightings of Bigfoot are probably misidentifications and mistakes, the back end of a moose, misinterpreted bear sighting, your grandmother in her fur coat. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that people see Bigfoot out there, but I think there's that 19% that are still the unknown. And there's a 1%, out of all these cases, only 1% are hoaxes.
You know, it's interesting here. You raise the point of my grandmother in a fur coat. Hmm.
Yeah, there's an image for me, for sure. My dear old Danish grandmother in a fur coat pretending to be Bigfoot. Yes.
Well, she might be a troll.
Please don't use the word troll. I get trolls on our site all the time. We're in a troll invasion. I'd rather not get into trolls, unless they're trolls from folklore.
That's what I was talking about in Denmark. They're usually giants. Trolls are giants. They're not small. That's the elves.
Of course. So, okay, so hoaxes. This is another thing. Now, the 1% similar kind of figures in ufology from classical ufology, maybe a little higher, but in today's world, with the internet, when you look at the number of bad videos out there where people are faking UFO footage, I mean, the percentage of hoaxes, if you consider those to be hoaxes, has got to be higher than 1% now. I mean, almost all of it is just garbage.
Well, let me ask you this. If somebody takes a video throwing a pie pan across their front yard, is that a hoax or a prank?
Well, it's a hoax if they put it on YouTube and say, this is a picture of a UFO I saw out in the backyard.
Right.
So, you know, how many people do that with, you know, put on a gorilla suit and go running through the jungle, you know, the forest, and then get somebody to video it and go, oh, my God, look what it is. It's got to be higher than 1% if you're going to take into factor all of that noise that's out there on the internet.
Are you a accountant or a statistician? You seem to really be into statistics.
Well, I tend to look at numbers of things, and I'm more of an analyst, yeah. So I'll look at the situation. And so if somebody says, well, the hoaxes are only 1%, and the first thing that comes to my mind is that, well, you know, in what? Is that out of good reports that it's a credible group that collects them, sifts through, and then investigates? Or is it just out of all of them in general? How do you get that 1%?
Well, let me tell you what I do. If there's a small percentage of people that are coming to me presenting evidence that is obviously faked, and they're trying to make money off of it, they're trying to get on TV, or they're trying to get in one of my books, and it's an obvious fake, it's a hoax. If I go to YouTube and I look at a bunch of Bigfoot videos that are just thrown up there with no explanation, and I immediately can identify what company that suit came from, or that they're showing something that their sneakers are coming through the bottom, I don't take that to be a serious hoax. I take that to just be a jerk putting a video up to clog the airwaves with something that they think is funny. It's
right.
Like looking at a cartoon versus looking at, I don't know, let me think, an executive order from a branch of government, you know, that everybody knows will be overthrown in the future. Is that a hoax? So I think that I have a really straight distinction between cartoons and comics and fools versus hoaxers that are trying to actually invade the field and change the field with contamination.
Okay. One thing that occurs to me is there are people put things up on YouTube to get the money from the number of views, except that Google has tightened up YouTube to such an extent that you've got to have a minimum number of views, a minimum number of subscribers before they will allow you to actually collect the proceeds. So it's made more difficult for casual people.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable. Maybe that'll help cut down in some of it. So, you know, I guess what I was going to summarize then for Lauren then is that the 1% that you're talking about doesn't include all of the stuff that would go into the wastebasket to begin with, sort of better reports that you feel are worth serious consideration in the first place. And then out of those, you find that actually very few are hoaxes.
Well, that's why I said 80% are misidentifications, mistakes, and other material that's not worth looking at. I think that we have to look at it to determine that. But when I look at 1% of the hoaxes, that means because they have a strict motivation to hoax the investigator.
As opposed to just creating a video for, you know, as a lark and putting it up on YouTube.
Yeah, they're not directing it at me. They're just directing it at the universe.
I see. They're not intending to deceive anyone. There's just like, let's just create a Bigfoot video and who cares? We'll just call it Bigfoot. And that doesn't count as a hoax in your statistics.
It's like Suicide Girls. Why are they putting it up there? To get the clicks on it, right? Some
right.
of these videos are foolish jokes that are cartoons in videos. They're not anything to do with the field.
Oh, just on a little aside, jumping back to this, the strange deaths, you were saying that there was a group that was tied to the Sex in the City television show, and it turns out that show is also one of the most prominent examples of the Mandela effect that we talked about. So there's a little bit of synchronicity for you.
Okay, all right.
Again, I still sometimes wonder with synchronicity, is there any evidence at all that synchronicity is more than just a coincidence we're looking at too closely?
Well, certainly Carl Jung thought there was something going on there. He felt it was more than a significant association. He felt there was, in many ways, both Jung and Freud were spiritualists. They really looked deeper but didn't like to talk about it. They almost had a religious, spiritual point of view that comes through Jung, certainly more than Freud. And I think that synchronicity on the level of Jungian synchronicity is seen as having some kind of connection with a broader cosmos.
Exactly. But do we believe that, or is that just something we want to believe, or is it really something verifiably extant?
We have something else for you to believe, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll present it right now with Lauren, Jean, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is defending his zero-tolerance immigration policy, even as protesters denounce it. WCBS reporter Kelly Waldron tells us about a demonstration at a detention center near New York City.
Concerned residents stood outside the gates of a facility here in Westchester County as Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney and others tried to get inside to see how many migrant children separated from their families at the border were brought here. But they were turned away at the gates and told to wait 2 weeks.
If we sit around and we're dumb enough to let them delay for 2 more weeks, somebody's parent is going to get deported. vaccinated, and that kid's still going to be here.
He's backing legislation that would require the State Department to work with embassies in Central America to get these families reunited immediately.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. That's 800-455-7967.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Randall, is your question finished, or would you rather continue or re-express it?
No, that was pretty much it. I mean, I think your sort of take on the whole idea of synchronicity, your question there, Gene, is I pretty much just restated it in my own terms. Personally, I think that there are instances in my experience where it seems like it's just there's just too much of a certain kind of a coincidence regarding certain things to just write it off as purely coincidental or accidental. And I don't really want to go into it right now on the show, but there's been a couple of pretty amazing things that have happened. And I'm sure that in many people's lives, they feel the same way. So there's a phenomena out there that we can't help but feel means more than simply coincidence. Is that fair, Lauren?
I think that's fair. I think that for myself, as a Fortean, as a follower of Charles Fort, what's most important to me is to not believe in coincidence. But it's more important to open it up, to open my universe, to open my mind to whatever's going to come my way. If some of them look like coincidences, then it goes in my mental library to really interact with the next one. So I don't feel that I need to be predisposed to believing there'll be a coincidence coming, but instead just being open to seeing it with an unprejudiced eye.
That's a really good attitude. I tend to think that if we are going to be more open to a broader view of the world, then it's probably more likely that we'll see the interconnectedness, and that therefore we might think of those as coincidences, when in fact, like you're seeming to suggest, it's just a broader view of the world, of our existence in whatever this realm is.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, I can talk about a few things that are coincidental, but they get to be so personal, maybe I should not bother. Okay, so we were going back to the reality.
You can do that in the after discussion.
You know, we won't talk about you behind your back.
That's okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad to know that. Okay, so Bigfoot. What about Loch Ness Monster? Myth or reality?
The Loch Ness Monster is always one that I said there'll be a 50-50% possibility of, because if you think about it, with Bigfoot, you've got a terrestrial animal that leaves fecal material and footprints. And what do you have left over from the Loch Ness Monster? Eyewitness reports. Nothing but photographs, that most of them are fake. Most of the eyewitness accounts tend to be waves, ducks, and, you know, birds flying over the loch that people see on the horizon. There's lots of mistakes that are made at Loch Ness.
Is it that anything that moves, oh, that's the monster?
I went there in 1999 for a two-week expedition, and one of the things that really shocked me was the horror. And by the horror, that was the rolling fog that went across the loch all the time. And it takes on a life of its own. And maybe it's because film doesn't capture it, or photographers want to take the nice, beautiful view of each shore. But I think that fog that drifts over the loch is really deceiving and has a body to itself. A lot of people take pictures of the waves and they say, oh, yeah, I can see how the waves are mistaken for the monster. But there should be more pictures taken of the fog than anything else.
Interesting. I'd never heard that particular point of view before, but I could see how that could definitely.
The other thing that shocked me, we went over there in July. I had a group of people, but I also took my sons, Malcolm, who was 11, and Caleb, who was 7. And we flew over, then we had to drive from Edinburgh. It's not a short drive. It was 3 hours. You know, after you've flown over from the United States, you're really tired. So you get there and you lay down for a nap. We laid down and we woke up, looked at the clock in the motel, and it said 11 o'clock. And we said, wow, we slept all the way to the next day because it was bright sun. We get up. We find out it's 11 o'clock at night. So I recalibrated my brain for all of those sightings that I'd read all of those years about 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock sightings in Loch Ness during the summer when I thought it would be dark out. And it's so far north. It's like the Northern Lights. The sun becomes a factor in the sightings that I never really had an understanding about. And that was kind of a being there, feeling different about the place that I wasn't expecting.
I guess it makes a difference to be right on site.
Yeah.
Something like that. You get the real feel of the place. How about giant birds?
The giant birds or the thunderbirds, there's really kind of two different kinds of giant birds that I deal with in North America. One are the thunderbirds, which the native peoples, of course, talked about as coming from thunder. And that seems to be because most of the traditional migration routes tend to go with the upflows of the thunderstorms, and they go north to south down through the Ozarks in the spring and then up through the Rockies through the winter. And then the owls, the giant owl reports. Mothman in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, even though most of the sightings were in 1966, 1967 for Mothman, digging in the records, Mark A. Hall, the late Mark A. Hall and myself dug into records deeply and found that over 100 years ago, there were reports of Mothman-like creatures, or as the natives called them, a giant flying chest. They had their head described in their chest. Then in the 1920s, there were reports of giant birds following jalopies down those roads. So it's a routine sort of situation in the Appalachian area of them seeing these giant owls over 4 feet tall and just having eyes that actually reflect red back. It's one of the myths of the field that there's all of these glowing red-eyed Bigfoot and Mothman and other creatures. If you actually get down to the original reports and original sources, you'll find that there was some kind of light source shining in the direction of the creatures that make their eyes red.
Yeah. In Alaska, there's been a couple of reports of a really large bird up there, one by a pilot who saw one from his small plane, like a Cessna. He said it was almost as big as his plane. And then there's another person here, I'm just recalling him looking at it now, says the wingspan had to be at least 20 feet. It was almost as wide as the road. I've lived there all my life, and I've never seen anything like that. It freaked me out. It was not a raven or an eagle. This isn't a joke. It was huge. So what's going on up there with
it? Yeah, it seems to be Thunderbird reports. Southeast Alaska tends to be an area that routinely reports, but the thing that we often forget, these creatures cannot be seen without humans. And so some of the areas that these creatures may be flying around in, there aren't that many humans. But in Southeast Alaska, at least, a pilot did report that. Some other native peoples up there reported these creatures. And, of course, all across British Columbia and Calgary, Alberta, they've had reports of these thunderbirds, too.
That's interesting. I live in Calgary. I've never actually run across anyone who's reported one, so I'm hoping that someday I will.
We got more to come with Lauren Coleman, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, back after a little bit of a rest. On the show, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franco Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Franklin Limited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
But the big question of the ages here, does a falling tree make a sound if there's nobody around to hear it?
Just like, can you see a Bigfoot if you're not out in the woods?
Have they been seen in the city? Have they ever been reported in an urban environment?
There's some reports that tend to be cities that have green belts that come in. Like in 1970s, there was some reports of Bigfoot around the edges of the Cleveland Zoo. And you look at a map now and you can see how the green belt or the rural type of area can come close to some situations like that. And you could imagine a Bigfoot getting lost and making it that far in.
My older brother and his wife, this would have been back in the 60s, when they were dating, used to go up to it was a nature preserve, pretty much right inside of Calgary. You could pull up onto the hill and kind of overlook the city and hang out up there. They took the dog out there for a run one night. Everything was off in the car, and they were just sitting there when they tell me this story, and of course, I believe it. They were very serious about it and told it to me a couple of times. This large creature, now he described it not as a Bigfoot, but more as like a Hulk, a large humanoid type creature that was just more or less outlined as a silhouette, came up over the hill toward their car, running and looking down, and it didn't seem to notice they were there. So they cracked the door to let the dog out. And as soon as that happened, they said it stopped, turned around, and ran the other direction. The dog gets out to chase it, chases it down into a little ravine where there's a barbed wire fence. They go and look, and there was a bit of snow on the ground. They could see the prints go right up to the fence, and then nothing. Dog's just standing there going, like, what happened?
Did they take photographs?
No, they didn't have a camera with them, and they were just like, you know, pretty much teens themselves. But
Bigfoot is attracted to sexual activity. You might ask your brother about that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, but they were pretty frightened.
Good story.
Yeah, something I'd never forgotten. You know, he's that sort of Hulk type, highly musculature, maybe not necessarily like a big hairy ape, but more like a Hulk type creature, sort of anything. Well,
in Alberta, there's many reports of the larger kind, and these are actually a little bit 2 or 3 feet taller than Bigfoot, have a certain build, and you sometimes with backlighting wouldn't see the hair.
Yeah, because they didn't describe this as like an ape at all. He was really adamant that it wasn't. He knew about Bigfoot, but he said it wasn't sort of like that sort of thing, like not like you'd see in like the Patterson film or whatever, if you believe that. What's your take on the Patterson film, by the way? I guess we should ask.
I don't believe in any of this. So I consider it acceptable evidence worthy of studying. I have actually looked at the three claims of it hoaxing, and they all have no merit.
Yeah, like I've looked at them all too, and so there's this back and forth thing where you've got the guy who says he actually wore the suit, the tailor who made the suit, and all the circumstantial evidence that goes with it. And I look at the thing, it looks like a guy in a suit to me, but I'm no expert. You know, but you're saying that there's still something to be taken seriously there?
Yeah, you can actually see muscle movement underneath the hair on some of the new enhancements, the computer enhancements. Bob Hieronymus, who says he was in the suit when he was the age that he would have been, was a thin basketball player and just didn't have the bulk. And then the guy who's the quote-unquote tailor was a costume artist for carnivals, and he's dead now, but he was never able to present any of the suits that he manufactured that would match the Patterson film. And then in the book that tried to debunk it, he came up with two ways the suit was created. One through this guy, Phil Morris, and the other was through old horse hides. He said both of those explanations in one book, and I often call it The Tale of Two Suits, because they can't even get their stories right.
Have you ever seen one yourself?
No. No, I haven't.
Yeah, neither have I. I do believe the phenomena exists. There's too many people who say they've seen something that fits the description. So I would say, personally speaking, regardless of the veracity of things like the Patterson film, there's too many people out there who seem perfectly reasonable and capable of discerning what they see to think that they're all just lying or hoaxing.
Yeah. Well, I tell reporters who ask me, do I believe in Bigfoot? And I say, no, I don't believe in Bigfoot. But do you think I would still be interested in studying this subject 60 years later? Only if I was insane, huh? Okay. Next question.
Okay, we've got skeleton fragments and remains of million-year-old dinosaurs. Why can't we find any remains of these things that we can go, okay, for sure, we've got one?
Well, we do. Gigantopithecus, Paranthropus, there's many hominid fossil candidates. Gigantopithecus was a ape-like creature that was over 10 feet tall, and there's fossil remains from India, China, and Vietnam. So there's plenty of fossil candidates from the Pleistocene that would fit right into a Bigfoot.
So you figure maybe some of these have survived through that period of time, or rather than evolving into something else, they just stayed in that particular form?
Yeah, they probably have been pretty static as much as humans have evolved. You know, there's minor little details or maybe size changes. There's some of these true giants actually show four toes instead of five. Some of the Bigfoot show five toes. So there may be some modifications in evolution in that direction. But in general, Gigantopithecus, Paranthropus, Homo erectus that may survive probably would look essentially the same, you know, only a few hundred thousand years ago.
But then they seem to have disappeared a few hundred thousand years ago, too. Why not more recent remains?
No, they haven't disappeared. They've continued on. Just because we can't find fossils in the temperate zone doesn't mean that they weren't there. We have records from coinage from Europe from 600 years ago that shows us those people were interacting with Bigfoot-type creatures. Wild man coins is a whole subfield within coin collecting.
Sounds almost like a prehistoric version of Harry and the Hendersons, doesn't it? Lauren Coleman, please tell our listeners if they want to have more information about what you do. Where can they go and tell us more about your museum?
Well, I'm the director and founder of the International Cryptozoology Museum that's at Thompson's Point in Portland, Maine. They can go to cryptozoologymuseum, all one word, .com. They can get the hours there. We're open year-round. We're open every day but Tuesday. And we have a conference coming up in September that has people like Jeff Meldrum, filmmakers, a woman named Dawn Prince Hughes, Ben Radford. We even let the skeptics in the door. And, you know, other people like Paul LeBlanc from British Columbia telling us about Caddy. Stephen Bissett, who's did The Thing, comic books. And also even a rock band, The Tomb of Nick Cage. Come and enjoy the museum and enjoy cryptozoology.
You can find us on Twitter. If you look for the Paracast, look for two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. And someday there may be one if we figure out how to combine them without losing the content. But that's Facebook for you. You also have After the Paracast, the other radio show we do, which can be the post-game commentary or special interviews, special discussions. Last week we had a really, really great show with Curtis Collins and the Saucers That Time Forgot. It's available. When you sign up for the Paracast Plus, you get access to all the premium content. Prices start just $1.49 a week. As they used to say in one magazine, our price, cheap. And we also have lifetime subscriptions, five-year subscriptions. We're coming up on 5 years of the Paracast Plus now. So those of you who have ordered 5 years, it's almost time for you to renew. That's the Paracast Plus, plus.theparacast.com for more info, plus.theparacast.com. Of course, we've got our friend J. Randall Murphy rejoining us as guest co-host. Lauren Coleman, I know this came at short notice. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Nice to be with you, Jane, and good to meet you, Randall.
Yeah, thanks. It was just getting interesting, so I hope we have you back.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.